D&D Dungeon Academy, No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue. Illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 8.
Pick me up,
Bubble shrieked, rattling and jaggling along the forest floor.
Pick me up, please, hurry!
The wolves seemed to hesitate. And that was good enough for Snabla, who drove for the tambourine and took it up, raising Bobble above his head like a mighty magic orb, and not a bit of hide, wood, and bangles.
Shake me! Shake me at the wolves! The sound will frighten them! Do it now, Snabla! This is humiliating!
The kobold moaned, but did as he was told, banging his gnarled fist against the instrument, Bobble grunting in pain with each thump.
Ouch! Shink, ding, 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 oof, clang, hey!
Zelle couldn't believe what she was seeing. The banging and the noise actually worked. The wolves' shield showing their teeth, yellow eyes glowing with hungry intent, but gradually their shaggy gray heads bowed and their tails lowered. And one by one, they began slinking back toward the edge of the forest, finally disappearing into the shrubs clustered at the edge of the clearing.
Keep rattling me now and then,
Bobble said, sounding winded. Two golden half-moons at the top of the instrument grew opaquer, the lower edge of the drum lifting to form lips.
The wolves will circle, but the noise will frighten them away. Good thinking,
Zell told them, keeping her sword out and ready just in case.
And lucky that you pay attention in class the way you do. You saved us, Bobble.
Hugo remembered how to move at last and crumbled to the ground.
Yes, you saved us, Bobble, and I failed you all. What good is a cowardly owlbear? What good is an owlbear who can't thrash and bash or tear with the sharpest of beaks and claws? Oh, I'm sorry, my friends. I am sorry.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Bobble.
Tried to say, but Snabla had already run off with the mimic toward the shaking bundle of fur rolled up and forgotten by wolves, left there to shivel in cold and stillness of the clearing.
Bobble is right,
said Zelle, carefully placing a hand on the owlbear's shoulder. He hid his face and tried to shrug her off.
They are... You just panicked. This is our first time outside the school. None of us knew what to expect.
I froze. Oh, do not hate me, Zelle, please. Do not hate me. I cannot change my nature, not at all at once.
She grinned, and then she watched him climb slowly to his knees.
We survived. And even if we hadn't, I don't think my ghost would hate you.
Much. The owlbear chuckled softly and sniffled, and then they were both distracted by Bobble's sudden, elated cry.
By Bane's black hand! A blink dog! It's a blink dog!
Bobble exclaimed, rattling with percussive joy.
How exciting! A blink dog, yes! Exciting and most delicious.
Snabla licked his chops, bending to scoop up the runty pup. It was yellow and orange, blending at times with soft, tufted ears and a curiously long tail. Before Snabla could touch it, it disappeared, vanishing with a quiet pop. It reemerged right in front of Zelly and Hugo, startling them both. Before Hugo could even grasp, it had licked a slobbery stripe up the owlbear's cheek.
"There! There, now!" Zelly chuckled. "Cheer up, Hugo! It likes you!"
"Because we saved it,"
Bobble said, now returning in the hands of Snobla, who rolled his beady eyes and huffed.
"But he's not friend. He is food."
"She is most certainly a friend,"
Bobble replied, jingling all the while.
"We can't hurt something so sweet. She's all alone, and must have gotten separated from her parents. I think we should call her Flash."
As if to agree, the pup vanished and then reappeared on top of Hugo's head, just as he began to stand, then popped into the air near Slabla, banging her wiry tail against the flat of the mimic's tambourine body, beating out a merry little rhythm.
"Flash it is."
She had to admit she was terribly cute.
"Though, I'm not sure why she's any safer with us. See? The footsteps lead that way."
They began their tracking again, though Snabla pouted, chin jutting out, his already cockeyed ears dropping as he stopped along at Zelly's side. He wasn't exactly being subtle about it, thumping Bobble's every few steps to keep the wolves at bay, though the motion struck her as strictly perfunctory. She would have thought the mischievous creature would have taken great pleasure in any excuse to rattle and bop the mimic.
"Well, what is it?"
Zelly asked, gazing down at the kobold. The blink dog, Flash, had settled onto Hugo's shoulders, hitching a ride, her tail curled around his wide neck.
"What will other kobolds say?"
"Say when they learn that Snabla let Feast become friend. Snabla will be dummy dum-dum to all kobold kind. A laughing sock."
"Stock," Bobble corrected him with obvious relish. For that, Snabla gave them an extra energetic bop.
"What does it matter what they think?"
Hugo asked, peering across Zelly's shoulder and down at the kobold as they left the clearing behind, closely following the wandering trail of the footsteps of varying sizes into the thick, close gloom of the forest. A smattering of yellow eyes regarded them, but the wolves kept their distance.
"We know you, Snabla. And we know that you are not a dummy dum-dum. You did not hesitate at all when faced with the wolves, and you showed true bravery."
"Pah!" the kobold shrieked.
"Bah!" "Kobolds should always be needling and poking, slicing and sticking. Never friendly, never kind."
Hugo frowned and opened his beak to continue, but Zelly shook her head suspiciously at him. More gentle encouragement was not what the kobold needed. No, Snobla required his own unique manner of reassurance.
"Well," Zelly sighed, "I think you're perfectly wretched and terrifying, but what do I know?"
Snobla swung around to face them, and his eyes grew wide, glossy, and tremulous with hope.
You do?"
He curled one claw under his narrow, scaly skin.
"Minotaur thinks Snabla is wretched."
"Oh, yes. Absolutely dreadful."
"Yes. Very dreadful indeed,"
Hugo added with a single nod of his feathered head catching on.
"Horrid, harrowing, and hideous."
the pokiest poker and sliciest slicer.
Zelly continued, then leveled a sharp look at Bauble as if to say,
"Now you go. Come on."
Bauble's lips would have been pursed if the mimic could show that expression as a tambourine that much Zelly knew. At last, with Snubla still contemplating this sudden turn, the mimic muttered,
"The unfriendliest friend, the unkindest kind of kobold."
"Thank you,"
Zelly mouthed behind Snabla's head. Easing his pointless shoulders back, Snabla grinned and whacked the tambourine against his hip.
"Party agrees. Snabla is still horrible. Blink dog not snack can stay."
At that, Flash let out a tiny, sleepy,
"Do you think she understands us?"
Zelly asked, reaching up to move a branch out of the way as they forced their way deeper into the woods. She noticed a thin coil of smoke threading up from above the canopy, but when she gave it a second look, she noted that it was not pale gray, but the unsettling, warning hue of a bruise.
"No, obviously. Come on, Zelly. Blink dogs only understand Sylvan,"
Bauble informed them.
"I would ask what grade you all received in common creatures and crawlers, but I'm afraid I already know the answer."
"There. The purple smoke. I see it again up ahead."
Zelly pointed, and they all slowed to a stop. She wasn't prepared to go charging headlong out of the forest. For the moment, they had concealment, and that gave them the advantage. Hugo excavated his map from his pack, brushing off a few errant herbs and mushrooms, squinting at it in the shadowy dark of the woods. He let it snap back into a roll before returning into his bag.
"There's a ridge ahead, Bone Break Gully, with a ravine just on the other side of the cave," he groaned, "hence the name."
"We might be right out in the open."
Moving carefully through the brush, Zelly leaned against a narrow dead tree at the edge of the woods before the ground plunged down into the gully and then to the sheer drop of the ravine beyond. The tracks trickled toward lower ground, curving, leading toward the mouth of a tall, yawning cave. And the walking into the cave, calmly, in a perfectly ordered fashion, went a stream of humans, dwarves, half-elves, halflings, all manner of folk, old and young, and oldish and youngish. Snabla gave the tambourine one last bang before falling silent.
"That's pretty,"
Bauble gasped, and without the benefit of hands clarified,
"The bugbear at the back, and see? There's Guthrash. Your truest love,"
Snabla teased.
"Hush,"
Bauble muttered.
"I had a bittering with him spring semester."
Just as Bauble had said, a strangely docile bugbear in spiked armor and furs brought up the rear of the line. Ahead of her, nearly swallowed by the mouth of the cave, was a similarly compliant goblin boy, his greenish ears sticking out of a domed helmet. Was a still strike somewhere down there, hypnotized and quelled just like the others.
"They must be enscrolled," Hugo whispered. "Enchanted somehow. Paddy would never behave this way. Guthrash, I really can't speak to, but Given the name, I find it unlikely.
Foul magics,
Snabla hissed.
What do we do?
For some reason, they all paused and looked to Zelle. She swallowed a squeak of fear and reached for her sword once more. She watched a dazzle of strange lights flash from the cave mouth, a spectacular display and dangerous promise of what they might face. Glancing at them each in turn, she felt for just a moment oddly at peace. They had come far together, survived hunger and wolves, and now their destination was clear.
We need to get closer to We gotta get a closer look at that cave,
she told them.
We need to put an end to whatever evil lies within.
That concludes Chapter 8 of D&D Dungeons & Dragons Dungeons Academy, No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rowe and illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing.